Ryder here. Welcome to Pagan Paradise podcast number 212 on August 14th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER. That's RYDER. And if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hey, everybody, let's do a patron update.
Yes.
Randall is a new patron for $5 a month. Randall, thank you so much. Really appreciate your support. Kathleen is a new patron for $20 a month. Kathleen, how generous of you. Thank you so much. And Ted is also a new patron at $20 a month. Ted, wow, thank you for becoming a patron. I so appreciate your patronage and your support. Thank you to all three of you. It's totally cool of you guys, and timely as well. I've lost a few patrons here and there. There's always a bit of attrition, and I lost a $50 patron. So it was way cool that you three stepped up at in just a perfect time period, and thank you again. Okay, let me tell you when the next webinars are going to be. The next ones up are Sunday, August 19th at 10 in the morning. And then one after that is Tuesday night, August 28th at 6 p.m. And of course, those times are California times. And once again, anybody can take those podcasts for free. You'll see when you click into it that the givers are for free because I really want to encourage more givers in the pegging universe. And the receivers are asked for a $15 donation, but, you know, if it would prevent you from attending, no big deal. Just shoot me an email and you can get in free too. Not a problem. So there you go. Those are the next two webinars. Sign up. Come and say hello. Come and watch my class. Okay, so I have something now that I'm going to read again. The reason I'm going to read it again is because I think it's just such a great message for the majority of you out there who are interested in pegging. It's not for everybody, for sure, but it does apply, I think, to the majority of people interested in pegging and wanting to find a partner for pegging, especially. I decided to write you from my own personal experience in hopes that those men who read this will finally find not just a person to peg them, but a person whom they love, a person who loves them back and also happens to enjoy pegging with them. First, as I know you've said many times, but I'll reiterate it, pegging is sex. Too many men have it in their head that because they're not asking to put their penis inside a woman, that it isn't sex, and they don't get why women don't want to peg them. These are also the same men who are desperately searching for, but have never found someone to share pegging with. Some may think I'm full of shit, but who has more credibility? The guy who's regularly and actively engaged in a pegging lifestyle for over 20 years, or the guys who are propositioning every female who posts online without success? The truth is, outside of a very few women who have a fetish for being objectified, the vast majority of women are turned off by being seen as just a piece of meat, or a tool to be used for someone else's pleasure. I'm going to answer the age-old question, what do women want? It's simple. Women want to be loved and accepted for who they are. And if you can deliver this, most women will move heaven and earth for you. I've never been in a relationship with a woman who wasn't into pegging, and I've been into pegging for over 20 years. How did I accomplish this? Well, here is the secret. I never looked for a partner to peg me. I looked for a partner, period, full stop. Then when it comes time to discuss sexual likes, dislikes, and boundaries, this is when you have to decide if the two or more of you are sexually compatible, and then either stay together or decide to part ways. Sidebar. I'm firmly, pun intended, convinced that one of the leading causes of failed marriages is that people, for one reason or another, enter into the marriage contract without reading the fine print. You wouldn't buy a car without test driving it, a pair of shoes without trying them on, would you? People have been doing freaky shit in bed since the beginning of time. It's only recently that it's becoming normal to be open about it. In the past, when divorce was rare and difficult for legal or religious reasons, people just stayed together, stayed miserable, and fucked around on each other. Now there really isn't any excuse to be in a sexually incompatible relationship. We live in a world where there really isn't any sexual fetish that's not socially acceptable, barring some extremes like bestiality, pedophilia, rape, etc. Now, a case could be made that one partner's sexual desires evolve into a realm that is outside the other partner's comfort zone. But I believe that as time goes on, more and more people are going to include the possibility that their partner may want to explore some unknown sexual role or fetish, and this will become just another factor of the couple's sexual compatibility. If you're with someone who's sex positive and you have a very narrow sexual repertoire, you might want to think long and hard before making long-term commitments. For those that began their relationship long ago, when the only kind of sex that was acceptable was the PG-13, safe to talk about in the 50s kind of sex, I really do feel bad for them because it's a shame how repressed we were in the past. So this was something that I read in podcast number 197. I'm getting a lot of emails from guys saying, hey, the pegging thing's really cool. I really like the pegging thing. Where can I find someone to peg me? I get these emails all the time. So I figured I'd read this again. And then there was this lovely comment that was posted that I want to share with you as well. This post should be dipped in gold and stickied at the top of every page. Very well said, and agree with every word written here. What resonated most with me is that I fall into the category of someone who discovered my prostate play and pegging desires 5 years into my marriage and had the task of convincing a conservative, traditionally minded, sex-wise anyway, wife to try and incorporate pegging into our marriage. My wife's initial response led me to believe that this would remain a fantasy and that I'd be in a relationship that became more stagnant over time, as I found myself becoming more sexually liberated in thought and desires the past few years. With patience, a lot of reading, including Ruby's awesome teachings, and open communication, my wife and I brought pegging into our lives a year ago. The feeling of being with a partner you can trust, who is willing to step outside their own comfort zone, is truly a magical feeling. I really can't offer enough superlatives to describe the intimacy that comes with allowing yourself to be truly vulnerable to a loved one. So I want to read this again, partly because I'm getting all those emails, and I know that not everyone out there is looking for a love relationship or a partnership. They just want to do the pegging thing. And again, I tell all you gentlemen who are in that category, the very best thing to do is go see a pro. And if that is not in your repertoire or not something that you want to do, then you need to very openly approach a friends with benefits, no strings attached situation and ask about the pegging. And that's rarely, rarely successful, I have to tell you. And again, I've said this before on the podcast, I wish I had a magic wand for all you guys, because I know you're just wanting to sexually explore, but what this guy wrote applies the vast majority of time. And how he titled this piece is Find Love, Not Just a Body. So there you go. Kind of a reminder, I guess. I especially appreciated that extra comment, so I wanted to reread those. This was a comment under my prostate orgasm article. How long should I wait before trying to have a prostate orgasm? How many days should I not masturbate? I was really close to having one, but my wife came in on me and we just had sex instead. So let's see here. The first question, how long should I wait before trying to have an orgasm? That's really individual because I've known some guys that jerk off 3, 4, 5 times a day. For them, waiting 3 days would be a really long time. I know guys who jerk off maybe once a week. For them, 3 weeks would probably feel like a really long time. So see what I mean? It really depends on how sexual you are, how often you jerk off, because it's counterproductive to wait so long that you feel like you have a case of blue balls, right? That's not good. But it is good to abstain for a while. How many days should I not masturbate? That just answered that question. And then I have to comment on you saying you were really close to having one, but your wife came in on you and you just had sex instead. I suggest, sir, that you tell her that and make it a fun thing to try and do with her if that's something that appeals. There are definitely guys out there who feel like they can come closer to having that prostate orgasm when their partner isn't around for whatever reason, be it that they're programmed to be givers, they're too self-conscious about letting go that much in front of their partner, they don't relax as much with their partner. There's a whole variety of reasons that may not apply to you at all. So if you have that lovely connection with her and she would be into something like that, tell her, and then you guys can try that, make it a bit of a goal. If you felt like you were close to it, that might be fun to do. And thanks for the questions. Okay, here's another email. Ruby, I wanted to personally thank you for what I'm about to tell you, and if you wish, share with your listeners a little about me. I'm a 39-year-old bisexual male. Yes, I'm attracted to athletic women and athletic men, and I love it. I met my wife of 14 years and counting our senior year in college. We were collegiate athletes, and both playing our respective sports at a high level, but in different areas of the country. We now have 2 beautiful children whom are the center of our lives. Not too long ago, I stumbled across your website and started listening to your podcast. I was searching pegging and how to talk to my wife about it. As I listened to your podcast every day for over 2 hours during my commute to and from work, I learned quickly the importance of communication and being open. Not that my wife and I struggled with it, just not as good as now. As I listened to your podcast, I noticed my confidence building. My confidence was soaring high with my sexuality. During this time, my wife and I were talking, and I expressed my feelings on being hairless across my entire body and how gross I felt with the normal amount of body hair that I had. I also communicated how I felt more me when I was wearing men's thongs. She was accepting of all this but didn't understand and thought it was weird, but sexy at the same time. It helps that I'm dedicated to keeping myself fit and healthy, but that's not the point of this story. As the hours passed each day listening to your podcasts, I started to realize I was not being honest with myself. That's the day I became me. I finally stopped suppressing my equal attraction towards men that I have for women. I stopped telling myself that I wasn't weird, and all those feelings, desires, and attractions are normal. When I was growing up, I had sexual relations with several of my guy friends, and a few in college. One in particular, after a long night of drinking rum. I was hanging out with a gay friend of mine. He's African-American and in good shape. And somehow, as I passed him, he started to make out with me. Deep, passionate kisses. I was so aroused that after several minutes I had to leave, as I was in shock with how turned on I was, let alone what was going on underneath my shorts. All my life, I was attracted to women and men, but I wouldn't admit it to myself. Until that day when one of your podcasts spoke to me. That same day, I got home from work, and after getting the kids to bed, I sat down with my soulmate. I opened up and became completely vulnerable. For the next week, we talked every night, staying up and only averaging 4 hours of sleep. None of this was scary, not a single second. I knew once I was honest with myself that I couldn't go through this alone without my partner in crime alongside me. She was not shocked, but relieved, as she knew about my past a long time ago. Why am I telling you all this? This was the turning point for us when it came to pegging and anal play. As my wife said to me, she gets it all now. Through all of our communication, openness, taking things slow, she is so turned on now. She sees my confidence and my openness. She has witnessed my body shaking orgasms come one after the other. We both believe in monogamy, and of course one of her first questions was, how do we satisfy that side of my sexuality? Through open communication about what I fantasize about, what I'm attracted to, she wants to role play for me during those types of sexy times. I told her as long as we continue to be open and communicate, we will be just fine. I promised her I would tell her when I was feeling I needed to have sex with a man, or if I was attracted to one. I share with her the gay porn I like, and now she's into it as well, as she sees how aroused I get watching it. I explain to her what I like about the guy or guys we are watching. Of course, during this journey, she has been satisfied to the moon and back plus some. The first night she massaged my prostate, she witnessed my body go insane. As she told me afterwards, she was so turned on watching my chest and stomach muscles flex as I was riding her fingers to ecstasy. We've had many nights and talks where I will say, Ruby said, and she will reply, what is she, like your sister? Listening to your podcast was a revolution for me, a safe haven that I didn't realize I needed. By hearing you comment time and time again about being honest with your spouse, I had been, just not honest with myself, made me look in the mirror. It opened me up. I accepted that it's okay I'm attracted to men, and I'm so proud of it. We have always been this GGG, but this, Ruby Ryder, has taken both of our desires, arousals, and orgasms that words can't explain to another atmosphere. The only thing that explains what is happening in our bedroom are noises that I didn't realize I could make. The amount of times I can orgasm is orgasmic. The other night, I think I had 6 orgasms before I finally shot my load into her mouth, where she eagerly kept every drop for me to taste and swallow. Thank you, Ruby, for what you have done. It does make me sad that so many men are afraid to be open and not vulnerable to their partner. So in return, they do things behind their spouse's back. That's their decision. I just hope that perhaps my story will inspire another person to be honest with themselves, just like you have done for so many others. I now describe to my wife that I am her loving bisexual husband who loves men and women, but has his soulmate right next to him. She tells me she sees this gleaming smile from me and this confidence that just keeps her wet. She told me she loves watching me walk around our house at night once the kids are asleep, drinking a good glass of red wine in my G-string. She can tell that I'm finally me. She mentioned that she's always felt I was bisexual, as she always saw me look at attractive men and women. You were truly an inspiration, and I'm forever grateful for the gift you gave my wife and I. Cheers, the proud bisexual husband. Yes. What an amazing story. Thank you so much for telling that in detail. There's been a lot of conversations that I have been a part of and heard recently and read in different places on the internet that sexuality is so much more fluid than we ever give it credit for. The whole sexual binary thing can be adhered to if that's what you really want to do, but there's the Kinsey scale, and the Kinsey scale is something where what it does is it puts you in a line, you know, whether you're straight or homosexual, gay, whatever. I'll see if I can find a link for you guys for that Kinsey thing. Sexuality is very fluid, and it's wonderful when you can own what's been hanging around inside you as opposed to denying it. And as I always say, if I said anything that inspired you to do that, I am honored. And I celebrate you being you 100%. And both of you having orgasmic fun like you are. That sounds totally cool. Congratulations to you both. Okay, here is another letter. Hello, Ruby. I hope this finds you well. I've been wanting to send you a thank you message for some time now and let you know what my pegging journey has been like. I hope that you find my story worthy of mention on your podcast, as I feel like some of my experiences can help others. I'm a mid-30s man, married with two young children. I've been married for 4 years, and together with my wife for about 15 years. We have a pretty good relationship, and had what I thought was pretty decent communication with each other. I'm in the motorcycle industry, and have been in the testosterone-fueled scene for over a decade. I've never been that hard ass that doesn't smile or laugh, and I've always been able to be myself, even being around macho bikers. I learned about pegging through watching porn. I stumbled upon pegging after watching girl-girl strap-on action. I was a little unsure of myself when I didn't stop watching it, and even more so when I searched for it. The excitement soon beat out any reservations, and I was watching and learning all I could about pegging, which brought me to your podcast. After listening to your podcast for about a year, I gathered the nerve to discuss my carnal cravings with my wife. While the conversation didn't go how I hoped, it went how I expected. My wife was very confused as to why I would want to be pegged, and I think more confused as to how this came to pass, as we'd spent so many years together with this not being a want of mine. She agreed to use a toy on me, but said she could not get herself to wear a strap-on. I felt like this was understandable, and I thanked her for listening. I asked her to listen to your podcast, episode 112, and sent her the link. The conversation ended there. I think within a week I ordered a toy and waited anxiously for it to arrive. When it finally did, I showed it to her, and she didn't say much. I figured she wasn't as thrilled as I was and put it away, thinking another time would be better to discuss the next step. A few weeks went by, and we had an anniversary trip planned. I asked her if I should bring the toy, and she said, "Bring it just in case we get a chance," referring to the challenge of finding time for us to have sex while we have small children. The thought that this might happen for me gave me such a hard-on in expectation. I really tried not to focus on the possibility of getting it in the ass on the trip, a difficult task indeed. Well, it happened on the second night of our getaway. The kids, exhausted after a full day in the pool, went to sleep early and gave us a chance to be intimate. To my surprise, while we were enjoying each other, she bent me over and told me to stay like that. What happened next was amazing. She slowly entered me and began to give me a proper ass-fucking. She constantly checked in on me as I struggled to communicate anything other than moans and a grunty, uh-huh. I was hooked. We finished our sexcapade and then didn't mention it again for some days. Please feel free to enter pegging celebration time here. I will do exactly that. Here's a pegging celebration time. I got a little aggressive about doing it again, and it's at this point that my pegging journey hit some rocky roads. I liked to be pegged. I now knew how it felt, and I wanted it all the time. I didn't realize how unsexy and uncool it is to constantly pressure your loved one for something that they maybe aren't so keen on. I didn't take the time to consider her thoughts or feelings. It didn't occur to me to think that maybe she was feeling like less of a woman for wielding this dildo that is not really a part of her. Could this new act that I found so much pleasure from be a replacement from our other sex acts? To be honest, I didn't think of anything other than what it felt like to be taken and that I wanted it more and now. As you can probably guess, this was a problem. I feel like she felt that I didn't want her. Instead, I wanted her to do something to me, and that is a huge difference. We would have a few more sessions in which she took care of my ass, but it always felt a bit rushed and hurried and not as pleasurable as I felt it could be. I told myself it was because we had the children sleeping, and at any moment one of them can wake up. But I knew in my heart something else was going on as well. I took what I could get, and I felt like that's what it would be for me for the foreseeable future. Recently, I attended a self-help seminar that really helped me in all aspects of my life. One of the things I have been able to do better is communicate and enjoy the moment. Overnight, my relationship with my wife was back on being the most important priority in my life. I focused on her and really let myself fall in love with her on a daily basis. She picked up how different I was. One of the things that immediately changed was our communication. I used to hold a lot in. Somehow or other, pegging came up again in conversation, and I asked her if she had ever listened to the podcast. She answered in the negative. Rather than be upset that she hadn't, I asked her if she could take some time to listen to it and that I would appreciate it. She said she would, and in fact, she did. That led to a conversation that absolutely needed to happen. After listening to the podcast, she approached me and told me that she'd finished the episode and wanted to talk. I said, of course. She started off thanking me for being vulnerable and sharing with her my wants. Pretty sure that was your suggestion, but it's been a long time since I've listened to the episode. Thanks just the same. I asked her what she thought of it and if she had any questions for me. Of course she had questions, and I answered them honestly and with confidence. We talked of our previous ass adventures, and we discussed what felt good for me. I told her that when we take our time, it really makes a difference, and that sometimes it felt rushed. That led to her apologizing and letting me know that she was in a hurry to get it over with, and how she felt bad for not being able to give me what I wanted. She talked about how her previous trauma, which I was aware of and felt like it had something to do with our experience. She said that she wouldn't be able to do pegging without some professional help. I felt amazing. I was empathetic that she felt this way and that my wants had caused her to revisit the trauma of abuse. At the same time, we had not communicated so openly and deeply with each other in as long as I can remember. Since that time, our communication has continually developed and gotten stronger, and for that, I give you a heartfelt thank you. Pegging may or may not be in my future, but I'm excited to know that we have a new level of intimacy that my wife and I can share, and that feels pretty fucking good. If you have any sex-positive psychologist that you can recommend in our area, that would be swell. Thanks for all you do, Ruby. Oh, wow. All kinds of things can happen when you start exploring sexually. And it's not just the pegging thing. Any kind of sexual exploration can bring things up like this. And kudos to both of you for talking about it, for continuing to talk about it, work through it, and be willing to go to therapy and just deal with it all. Openness and honesty really, really is just the most amazing aphrodisiac. So kudos to both of you for sort of diving in. And it sounds like you've got an amazing foundation that will serve you really well in any direction you decide to explore. Absolutely. So happy to play the music for you. Sometimes when I play the music, it's kind of for a different situation, and this sort of is. I mean, it doesn't end on the happy, happy note of, you know, we're fucking all the time and things like that. But if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, this does happen to a whole bunch of guys out there when they first start doing pegging. It feels so good that they become kind of fixated on it, and that's all they want. It's something that I decided to include in my classes, seriously, because I hear about it often enough. And once you cross that bridge and you decide to explore pegging, I'd love to give you so much information that it continues to be a smooth path as often as possible. And at least let you know what the potential pitfalls might be. And this is absolutely a potential pitfall. You finally get it. It feels amazing. It's all you want. You want it again. You want it now. Ooh, yeah, that needs some tempering. Because yes, it is really unsexy to have that demand like that. Now you can approach your partner like an eager puppy dog and say, please, please, please. Can we schedule this regularly? Whatever you feel like works for you. And, you know, if it's once a week, that's great. So that there is some control on her side of things. So that when you guys get together and it's sexy time, she's not dreading you asking for pegging one more time. And you are not hoping that she's going to say yes this time. So yeah, that avoids that whole back and forth pull thing. And once it's scheduled, you know it's coming. So you don't have to be whiny or pouty or anything like that. You know it's scheduled and you know you're going to get fucked. I wanted to reiterate that because it does happen often enough to where I decided to include it in my classes as a potential pitfall. So congratulations on all of that stuff that you guys have discovered, have shared with each other, and are dealing with. Thank you so much for writing in and sharing that all. This is something I found on the forum. How do I approach my soon-to-be wife about my fantasies? I want her to peg me or use toys on me. I'm scared she's going to think I'm weird or gay and leave. But I use toys frequently when she's not home and have resorted to watching pegging porn. I really want to share this with her, and I've hid this from her for 4 years. I'm in need of advice. Okay, so the very first thing you want to do is make sure your side of the street is clean. What do I mean by that? I mean you want to be a really good partner to her. You want to make sure that you help her out with the different things that she does in your lives as much as you can, be it, you know, doing the dishes. I don't know how you guys split chores or stuff like that. Or if you have children, you know, you want to be there helping out and trying to keep her happy as much as you can. You also, when you two get into bed, want to make it a project and a fun project and a goal to send her to the moon with pleasure. Just really go for it and do all the favorite stuff that she has. Ask her if there's anything that she's never tried, that kind of stuff. So if you haven't already done that, if you don't already do that, is a different way to put it, then start doing that and lay that as a foundation because you want her happy first. The next thing you want to do is tell her that you have discovered a new thing to do with her sexually that you're really excited about and that you want to talk with her about it and you want to share this information because it looks like it'll be a lot of fun. And then you can tell her about the pegging and tell her that it's actually really good for your prostate as well. And then you have her listen to podcast number 112. It's important that she gets to podcast number 112. So if you want to, when you pick that time that feels right to tell her about the pegging, you can have it all queued up and say, look, listen to this with me. It will help you understand why I want this. And even if she gives you a really negative response, just stay calm, don't get defensive, just let it all wash over you and continue being nice and kind and asking her to listen to the podcast. I think once you get to listening to the podcast part, it will open her mind. Now, she might be someone who just says, hey, I'm down for this. One of my girlfriends told me about she's doing it to her guy, right? You never know how it's going to turn out. I'm sort of running you through what you would do for someone who is likely to be pretty conservative sexually. I'm thinking that you probably wouldn't be hiding all this if she wasn't conservative sexually, but I could be totally wrong. You might be hiding it and not sharing it with her because you're just simply not comfortable with it. But being open and honest with her about it is essential because think about what it might feel like if you didn't tell her and you spent the rest of your life with her. And it was something that you hid from her all the time. When you hide things, that builds walls. So don't do that if you can at all help it. So yeah, that's what I would advise. And I'm going to, once again, put the link for podcast number 112 in the Linkorama. And it'd probably be good if you just read through the beginning newbie stuff. You know, I know you've been doing the ass play for a while, but just to read up on what this is all about, because you've been doing solo stuff, but there's a whole nother side to it, which I hear that you are really longing to experience with your wife. And that presents different dynamics than just solo play. So I'll put the link for that too, the newbie information. Good luck to you, sir, and please do let me know how it goes. Okay, here is another letter. This is from someone who sent me a friend request on FetLife. Hey there, thanks for allowing me to be your friend. I look forward to talking with you about pegging. I personally love to be pegged, but my significant other is hesitant to do it with me. She swears I'm gay, but I'm not. I just enjoy the feeling of anal play. Been doing it since I was a young man. We've talked about getting her a harness for years, but we've never followed through with it. My significant other is what you'd call a vanilla. Progress with her is slower than molasses in January. Any words of advice or encouragement? Absolutely. Kind of what I just told the last guy. You've already broached the subject with her, so ask her to listen to podcast number 112. See, here's the thing. I get letters like this all the time, and one of the dynamics, before we start talking about what's happening with you and the girlfriend, is that the guys out there who really want to explore pegging also want to talk about it. I so get that. I am a safe harbor. I am the safe person where you can talk with me about pegging. But here's the issue about that. I don't have time to talk to every single guy about pegging. It's just, you know, chatting doesn't pay, sadly. So what I do when I get messages like this is refer them to podcast number 112, clearly, because that is part of the couple formula to try and move that a little bit further forward and further along the path to pegging, but also to let you know that there is a whole group of people on my 24/7 chat channel that all are totally okay with talking about pegging. If you are craving talking with other people about this way cool thing that you found, but maybe you have some shame about it, or you don't want to talk to just any about it, which is probably a really good idea, know that myself, is not the only safe harbor. You can join the chat channel, and there's a whole bunch of people there that would be happy to converse with you. And how you do that is become a patron of mine for only $1 a month will get you the 24/7 chat channel. I don't offer that for free because I want there to be some barrier between just anybody joining and people joining who really want it and need it and appreciate it. So that's a cool thing if you're totally craving the conversation, because sadly, I don't have the time to sit and chat and answer all your questions individually. But the good news is that chat channel's there and all the information is out there already. You just need to spend some time cruising my blog, checking out all the information and listening to podcasts. Don't despair that your partner is a vanilla. That's totally fine. It's all good. If you guys have really good communication and your side of the street is clean, like I just told that last guy, you want to be the best partner you can possibly be, because that's going to keep her happy. And then she is going to want to make you happy. She will be much more inclined to explore things that you say, hey, I want to check this out. If you have done all the things I mentioned to the last guy and kept your girlfriend really, really happy. So at that point, yes, you could sit down and listen to podcast number 112. But I forgot to tell the last guy this. So last guy, I hope you're still listening. It's really important for both of you to listen to that podcast yourself first. The reason I tell you to do that is because I don't know if it's appropriate for your wife or your girlfriend. You guys know your partners better than I ever will, so you are the only ones that can determine if this is something appropriate. I don't want to recommend a podcast that when you listen to it, you know is going to freak out your partner. And that's something that I've gotten feedback on before. It's like, whoa, I listened to it first and no way she's ready for that. So that's why I take that step and say, hey, you need to listen to it first. Plus, I think it's just really good for you to hear it first so you know what's coming. And then you can either sit and listen to it with her or apart, whichever feels comfortable to you guys. If you do sit and listen to it with your partner, then you can just put the pause button on and talk about stuff as it comes up. It's a pretty handy thing to do, because once I introduce certain questions and subjects and things like that, it's really easy to just put that thing on pause and go, okay, let's talk about that. I think it's a marvelous tool for dispelling all the myths and misconceptions around pegging. And when you said she swears you're gay, she definitely has some misconceptions around pegging that need some accurate information to refute them. So there you go. Podcast number 112, that will be in the Linkorama. And I think both of you guys are pretty new to my blog and my podcast. What I mean when I say the Linkorama, go to my blog, peggingparadise.com, And what you find there is that when I post the podcast, underneath it is a ton of links about everything I talked about. I have two sections. One is articles and information, and the other is equipment. So you will find the link there. Or you can just go to my blog, peggingparadise.com, put 112 in the search window, and boom, boom, there you go. I just like to make it easy for you and give you a whole bunch of different possibilities. Alrighty then. So, good luck to you, sir. Thank you so much for the question, and let me know how it goes. So I'm going to close out this podcast telling you guys a story about what I did recently. This is a funny story, okay? At least I think it's really funny. So, okay, a little history. When I was younger, I think the first time, this is about marijuana is what it is. The first time I smoked pot, I was like 16, okay? And I smoked a fair amount of pot from 16 to about 25 or so. Not all the time, but had a boyfriend that smoked it. Actually sold a little bit of it through him, right? Oh, the dark underside of Ruby's youth. So, let's see. I stopped when I met my first husband because he was really straight and really vanilla. And I really didn't know that I was kinky yet, but I thought probably smoking pot wasn't a good thing while I was with him, and it wasn't something I craved. It was no big deal. So flash forward to, I took a trip to Mexico with three girlfriends of mine, and I hadn't smoked pot in a long time, but there I was sitting around a table under a palapa down in Baja, Mexico, and one of the women there pulls out a joint and says, "Hey, anybody want to get high?" And I'm thinking, why not, right? So I smoked it, and pretty quickly I realized that the stuff that I used to smoke when I was a kid, so to speak, was way, way less strong than what I was just starting to smoke there. And the three of them continued having a conversation, and I was working really, really hard to try and put the words together to make some sense out of them. And by the time I did, in one sentence, they were like six sentences down the line. That's exactly how it felt. So I got up and I said, "Well, I have lost my ability to communicate, so I'm going to bed," which is exactly what I did. Was it a pleasant experience? I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't that big of a deal. But not being able to communicate is a little difficult for me. I'm a pretty intense communicator, okay? So let's see. Flash forward to, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. And I have a friend I used to trade massages with. And she was tipped some pot from a massage client of hers. So she gave me some and said, "Here, go get high," right? And I kind of forgot how to get high. And what I mean by that is when you get high, you really need to sort of plan what you're going to do. You can't just sort of get high and then try and do what you normally do, which is what I did. So that experience, all that experience gave me was some frustration because I was trying to answer emails. I was like, no, you don't try and answer emails when you're high. And then I got the munchies and I like devoured everything in my kitchen and felt awful the next day. So that was an unpleasant experience. But that takes us up to right now. And right now, California legalized pot, right? So the dispensaries are all over the place. You don't really need a medical marijuana card anymore. And I was willing to revisit this whole idea of getting high because I keep hearing from people that there's all kinds of different pot out there that have all kinds of different sort of reactions when you smoke it. Well, it's a bit of a crapshoot is what it feels like. There's a couple of different strains of it. One is supposed to be more of a put you to sleep. One is more of an upper kind of a high. But then watching this special, it only took about 15 minutes. There was this special that my sister found, because this is an adventure I did with my sister and a friend of ours. What they said in that special about it was that the two strains had been interbred so many times that really it was sort of difficult to say this is either indica or sativa. So anyway, we just figured we'd give it a try, and we went to the pot store, and they rang the bell when we first walked in. The woman said, "So, is this your first time here?" "Yes." And so they rang the bell. It's like a virgin's ring the bell. Yay, everybody applauded. That was fun. Now, what I specifically wanted was something that would give me kind of an upper sort of a high, not put me to sleep, and specifically would not give me the munchies. And, you know, That's what I got. That is exactly what I got. And it's so funny because there's lots of different ways that you can intake pot now. There's a vape pen, there's edibles, there's all kinds of things. So my sister was adamant that she was not going to smoke anything. So she got an edible. And the other person that was with us shared the edible as well. So I was the only one that smoked mine. And I revisited my skill of rolling a joint, and I'm happy to say, for I don't know why I'm happy, but it, you know, I needed that skill to be able to do this, and I can still roll a joint just fine. I was very careful how much I smoke because I know it's really, really strong. There were two different choices she gave me, and they actually have percentages of the THC in there. One was like 30-something, and one was 17, and I said, just give me the 17%. And I think I probably had like about 6 or 8 puffs on that, and then I just let it go out. And you know, that was really fun. It was actually really fun. Everything was funny. Now, the other person that was with us, she had one of the edibles and she never got high. So, and my sister didn't think that she was high, but she had a hard time talking and remembering things. I wanted to laugh at everything they said. But I controlled myself because they were not in the same place that I was at all. So in short, I had a lovely getting high experience on this quote-unquote drug that is now legal in California, at least according to the state. The feds still haven't made up their mind on that. And I think it's a really good alternative for alcohol. Alcohol is basically a poison. Alcohol feels really good to drink, but the older I get, the more side effects I have the next morning, the more I regret it. And it's also something that just sometimes tastes so good, I just want to have 2 or 3 instead of just 1. So yes, my getting high experiment, the Great Dispensary Adventure, was a success for me. And I bought this little thing of pot that costs like $40. And when I look at how much it took to get me high, holy crap, that thing's going to last me a really, really long time. So one of the really entertaining things is all the different names that they have for all the different strains of pot. And I guess the funniest thing about this whole experience is my pot was named Blue Crack. So the end of the story is that Ruby Rider smoked Blue Crack. Now, I haven't had sex on pot. The last time I had sex on pot was a long, long, long time ago, like teens and 20s and stuff like that, right? And I have evolved quite a bit from there. One of the things that really intrigues me is all the different forms that are coming out now. July 1st, I guess California put this law into effect, or this regulation, that everything had to be labeled a very specific way for it to be sold. I think what they're trying to do is sort of measure things to help people dose themselves correctly, if you will. So some of the available methods of ingesting this weren't there, or of getting it into your system. But one of the things that intrigues the hell out of me, being Ruby Rider the Pegging Queen, right? I swear to God, you guys, they have suppositories. They actually have suppositories. So what would it be like to use a pot suppository and then get pegged? I'm just wondering. So if anybody out there listening has done this, please do write in and tell me the story by all means. All right. That's my story. That's the end of the podcast here. Ruby's a stoner. Or at least she was last night. Okay. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. And remember, if you order any wonderful new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too ludicrous, too laughable, or too lively? Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.